Thank you for staying with us on Consider This. I'm Melissa Idris. With me tonight, Ibrahim Sani, slightly different from Sharad Kutan.
Better looking, that's
better
for sure.
Looking. Yeah. I'm sure he will disagree. Joining us in the studio, we have Wan Agil Wan Hassan, Strategic Director of UMNO Youth Chief Office, as well as Lim Wei Jet, Secretary General of HAKAM. Wei Jet, you just before the break, you were talking about the options of going to court at Parliament. I'm wondering now, the next session of Parliament has been fixed for March 9th,
yeah.
Right? It's just about a week from now. Mm-hmm. Is there a possibility that Parliament could be deferred?
Well, the Prime Minister has the power to advise the young deputant Argong to defer Parliament to a later date. But I think the Constitution says that one Parliament session from the other cannot be longer than 6 months. That's the only limitation.
Okay.
But beyond that, yes, the Prime Minister can advise the young deputant Argong to defer Parliament.
Agil, do you think that Tan Sri Muhyiddin will defer the sitting of Parliament?
Well, to be honest with you, I'm not really sure what he's going to do with the Parliament sitting, whether he's going to defer it or whether he's going to defer it or stick with the plan.
If you were advising him, what would you advise him?
I would say that he should stick with the plan because the longer he defer, there will be a lot of other things that we cannot foresee happen. If he defer, it shows weakness because he's not confident to go into the Parliament and you know, take charge of the government. And if I were to advise him, I would say that just go for the Parliament sitting, go and face it, take the heat, and be very firm on forming the government.
So if that's the way to go, that means we only have like literally 9 days to figure things out, to, you know, really iron out all the creases in the shirt, right? It's a very interesting patchwork, right? It's a patchwork, right?
Yeah.
You got GPS, who is in but not in. You have...
Actually, that's a really good point. I want to hear from Agil. Barikata National.
Yes.
Could you state for the record, who's in this coalition?
Well, I don't have the details, but what I'm very sure that GPS have come up with a statement saying that they are not part of Perikatan Nasional, but they are friendly parties with Perikatan Nasional. I think we pretty much understand why, because it's very hard to read how public react towards this Perikatan Nasional at this particular moment, because there is a group of people says that they are looking for fresh elections, which is much more better to give back the mandate to them and vote for the new government. But on the other side, say that it's a waste of money for the country to go for another election, which the government has just only formed for 21 months, and then it's okay to form a new government because the previous government didn't have the majority to form one. That's the issues. Mm. Now, whether GPS willing to take that chance, because they are going to face a state election next year. Mm. That's the part where I think if I were even the Chief Minister of Sarawak, will do the same. Because we don't want to be part, I mean, he don't want to be part of this fiasco. I mean, to show that he really want to be part of it, but enough to give support to allow this crisis to be over.
Well, you know, GPS was said to be the kingmakers of this, you know, political crisis. The next prime minister,
you
right?
You see it that way.
I see it that way because...
Well, do you know what was given to GPS for this consideration?
I mean, I'm not sure what you meant by what was given.
Well, I'm sure there was leverage, right? I mean, they have leverage and they've asked for the national interest and they've asked for the interest of Sarawak.
Even a discussion earlier in the day about DAP working together with the state government as long as the national or federation, the federal level is being looked after. So this kind of horse trading deal, it's happening, right?
It's happening, but I'm not really sure about the details whether it's happening with between Perikatan Nasional and GPS. But one thing for sure that we know, GPS is not happy with the previous government, right? Because whatever been promised to them are not delivered.
But that's fine. They're not part of the confidence and supply of the previous government.
True. But still, with the promises...
You guys are unhappy with the previous government. It's fine.
True, yes. But I think in the Sarawak case, it's more clearer because whatever that been promised to be given to them, like MA63,
yes,
the oil royalties.
That's right.
I think it's a very clear issues that GPS is not happy with the previous.
Could we get a Deputy Prime Minister from the Sabah and Sarawak territories?
I don't see why not. I think youth have a different views on how politics should work nowadays.
Okay? So UMNO Youth is slightly different.
No, I'm not sure about UMNO Youth. I personally believe that it's okay to have the Deputy Prime Minister from Borneo. In fact, in the Constitution, correct me if I'm wrong, but in the Constitution, they didn't state any clause that refer to the Deputy Prime Minister. You can appoint maybe two or three Deputy Prime Ministers. You can even have one woman Deputy Prime Minister.
You don't even you can even be a senator.
Sure, but it shows unity. It should show unity between Peninsula and Borneo, and having a Borneo Deputy Prime Minister is good.
What do you is that correct to say?
Yes, I mean the Constitution doesn't mention the post of Deputy Prime Minister, and I think that ideally you want Borneo representation when it comes to cabinet. Especially the Deputy Prime Minister's
position.
But we
have that same problem in the UK, right? I mean, when you have Minister, you know, First Minister of Scotland and all the other stuff, it's the same mess. I just want to focus on what can be done differently in this administration that wasn't delivered for the past 60-odd years that this Sarawak government has been joining with us. Remember, MA63 wasn't delivered not just for the past two years. It wasn't delivered since 1963. The oil royalty is still going on. Not because it just started the problem since May 9th, 2018. It's been going on for quite a bit. How are things going to be done differently?
So I'm not speaking about Bakatan Harapan, but I believe that for the past 2 years, there is a special select committee on MA63, and they have tried to iron out issues relating to MA63 when it comes to oil royalty, when it comes to Sabah and Sarawak rights. In fact, there was a constitutional amendment that was being proposed, but you know, for some reason or another, Sabah and Sarawakian parties were not happy with it and did not support it. So there are attempts by Pakatan Harapan. So you can't just ignore all those kind of previous contribution to equate, you know, or to level the playing field within Sabah and Sarawak and Peninsula.
The more than two-thirds of the Perikatan National members were from Barisan Nasional. How do you think Tan Sri Muhyiddin, if he is able to survive the early stages of his administration, how is he going to approach this particular problem of addressing GPS's concerns?
When Yang di-Pertuan Agong appoint Tan Sri Muhyiddin Yassin as the Prime Minister, I personally believe that is going to be another Pakatan Harapan issue, because you are not appointing an alpha party to lead the government. This is the real problem. I mean, let's look into Pakatan Harapan. When you are not appointing the alpha party, the majority of the party to lead, then you have a problem of political will. Whether or not, back then when Tun Dr. Mahathir can make a call or make a shot on certain policy decision, it's beyond us, because he still need to go to Majlis President and get some advice from other three presidents. This is the problem that Tan Sri Muhyiddin Yassin might face. But learning a lesson from Pakatan Harapan, I believe this new Perikatan will go beyond that. I think it's purely on serving the people and country, I hope. And this time around, if you look into our neighbour, Indonesia, this is where we have a chance to make a difference. To come out with a cabinet that is a functioning cabinet by having professionals and technocrats to lead certain ministries. I mean, appointing MPs is a tradition for government to have ministers in the ministries. But having technocrats, we did that before. We have like Wahid Omar to be a senator and the minister in the Prime Minister's office. We have Idris Jalan.
Is that going to happen in the new cabinet, you reckon? Mm. Will it be merit-based appointments, technocrats, or will it be the composition of this coalition? Will
personally,
it reflect
that? Personally, I don't know. But again, if I were to advise the Prime Minister, I would suggest to have a balance of merit-based and also the political appointee-based. Then it will be a focus for him to start putting back this country on track.
Okay. A question for both of you, just very quickly before we go to break. I want to know from an insider and from an observer from the outside, how would you characterise the nature of this coalition, Perikatan Nasional?
Well, if I were to characterise it, it's about to rebuild the country, because we were hoping for something different for the past 21 months. I mean, let's agree on one thing. Whatever we left for Pakatan Harapan, it was not the best, but it's not bad. It's not bad. But after 21 months, it's not getting any better. Then I think it's time for Perikatan Nasional to bring back the country on track.
Wajar.
Perikatan Nasional is not reflective of the will of the people on May 2018. We voted specifically to remove those who are corrupt from power, and now they are back in power with many others. it's a very sad day for many Malaysians and myself. I believe that the will of the people at that point in time, the mandate to govern for 5 years to Pakatan Harapan, and the reforms that were promised when it comes to human rights, institutional independence, must be carried through. And I believe that at the end of 22 months, when we have those who were voted out back into power, that is really the betrayal of the people of the highest order. That is my view.
Gentlemen, it seems that we have a difference of opinion, and I want to continue this conversation, but we're going to take a quick break. And after this, we're going to hear from political analyst Dr. Sharifa Shahira. So stay tuned to consider this.